There's a little story behind that boat as such that I knew it was coming down Saturday morning early to meet with the men. And I thought, just maybe, because I just all summer long it seemed like I could not get out with the boat. And I thought, just maybe my good friend Billy Stahl might go out with me and teach me a little bit on how to boat, because I'm still pretty new at it. I've had about a year, and still some things make me nervous as such. So on the way down, we start off in Hendersonville, and I had a half a tank of gas in my truck. Well, I knew about that cheap South Carolina gas you got compared to ours. So I went by $1.83, I think it was $1.79, and then $1.74, $1.73, and got down, I think, the hot spot over near Honeypath. There's $1.70.9. I thought, I've got to get this stuff. So I come into that place, and it's pretty hard to get in there with a boat behind you. Not all the aisles are available. And one of the end aisles had yellow bags on it, so I couldn't use it. First come in, somebody wouldn't get, they weren't even in the truck. They were inside getting a lottery ticket or something, I don't know. So I had to wait and wait and wait. And I came around the building again, and it still was there. And I finally got up to the pump, and I jumped out quick because the boat's sort of obstructing traffic, and saw 87 octane. I put that in there and pumped the gas, and then embarrassing to say, but I did this. The windows were dirty, so I cleaned the windows. And the boat was dirty because it had some stuff on it, so I took the wiper thing and I was cleaning the sides of the boat, and I was just having a high time out there, pumping gas and cleaning vehicles at the pump. Years ago, my son Todd was in the van with us, and I did that around the van, and he come in and he told my wife sitting in the van, he says, Mom, doesn't Dad know there are car washes? I was wiping all the windows down. But at any rate, I got the gas and pulled away from the pump, and we went to sit down. We had a little extra time to sit beside the shade tree there and rest a little bit, study some. And I looked at my ticket. I thought, this can't be right. It says 224 and 9 tenths. I said, how much was the gas here? That's what it said on there, $50-some. So this can't be right. So I cranked up the truck and run around the building again and pulled up to the pump and looked, and there it was, 87, 93, 87. Ethanol-free. And I made a mistake of getting that from my truck. So that was an expensive, 50 cents more a gallon than what it would have been. So it really didn't help me that much. We're glad to be here with you and share this weekend and trust that that you will be blessed for this morning's message. I've shared this before. Did it go on, brother?
Turn it on.
Turn it on. All right. Now, you didn't tell me that part. You got to tell me everything. Right here. Is it right now? There you go. Trust to be blessed by the intent of this message, and I've shared it in our home church a number of years ago, and it's one I enjoy talking about because of the importance in our life, the importance of inspiration. How are we inspired in life? What inspires us? And we may not think about it at face value, but it has a whole lot to do with our life and how we react to things around us, and how we live. And I want to ask you some questions, and I want you to think about them. We'll come back and look at them each later, so I'll just ask the questions to begin with. What does inspiration mean? It's a word we're familiar with the word. What does inspiration mean? Then who has inspired you to live faithfully in life? And that may take some reflection, but just think for a moment. You look back in the years, your formative years, your teenage years, your young adult, your young married time. Who has inspired you to live faithfully? And a counter question with that, whom are you inspiring to live for Christ? Who do I have an effect on? The fourth question is, why is it important to choose the right source for my inspiration? And the last one, is the source of my inspiration biblically sound? Or is it based on men's opinions entirely on the fame of some individuals? So let's go back to the first question. What does inspiration mean? A definition might read in this manner. A divine influence that directly and immediately exerts its effect upon my mind or my soul, influencing me who I am. Long definition, but listen to it. A divine influence to affect who I am, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. We think of the definition of inspiring, to guide or control by divine influence. Some synonyms for inspiration could be stimulus, spurring, spur me on. I think about years ago and a few times I worked in part-time on a farm, and the hog farmer had a stimulus to move some hogs. A hot shot, is it called? And they would jump, sometimes all 4 feet off the ground, but they got the message. Move! A stimulus, a motivation, encouragement. There would be some synonyms for inspiration. And when we think of personal examples in life, examples of inspiration from the world, in the political arena, for some people, and I'm not saying this to be sarcastic, there are some people, Obama is an inspiration, for others he's not, but the presidential office usually is a source of inspiration. Senators like McCain and others, some people like news articles and news commentators, the Hannity, O'Reilly, they become inspiring to them. Some look to our United States of America, and I love America. I truly do. I love God more, without question, without challenge. I love the Bible more, but I love America. Some people are inspired by their countries, Canada, Mexico. In the musical world, we think of people that inspire others, pop singers and popular bands of the secular world. And while it made me think about it, I want to thank the worship and praise band. I think y'all, I know it's not a band, it's called Worship and Praise Group, I guess. Thank you. I heard them practicing early this morning when we came here. They were practicing, and thank you for the work you do. But for many people, the musical world secularly is a source of inspiration. Famous groups or individuals, and even some gospel singers can be a source of inspiration. When I think of the medical world, of course, I'm related with that or involved with that. My mind always goes to a prominent surgeon, and I know I'll butcher his name, is Dr. Alfredo Hinojosa, H-I-N-O-J-O-S-A. You people who speak Spanish could say do a better job, I'm sure. He's at Johns Hopkins Medical School. He is the top neurosurgeon there. He started his life in America, dear people, as a migrant worker picking tomatoes. Now you think about going from a field picking tomatoes to being the head neurosurgeon of a major university in America. Absolutely amazing. Very similar to our presidential candidate, Dr. Ben Carson, another neurosurgeon from a large, uneducated family. As I understand right, his mother, who was illiterate, did not tell the children, would force the boys to make book reports that she couldn't read. They'd have to read them and write them. I guess she pretended to read them. And from a circumstance like that, to go to where he is today. In the sports world, and I was talking to Tommy before church a little bit. In the sports world, we have people that inspire others. And in my time era, more so, Tiger Woods. It seemed like for year after year after year, that was the name, the man's name in golf. When you thought about golf, you thought about Tiger Woods. And of course, we know his shameful fall in 2009. Others have filled his spot, though, as far as inspiration to those in the golf field. And Jeff Gordon in NASCAR racing. When you think locally here, bass fishing. Casey Ashley from Donald, South Carolina. If you're really into bass fishing, he is an inspiration to those people. And incidentally, I learned something on the lake the other day, several things from Billy Stahl. We were sitting there, and I couldn't even see this to begin with. He said, Bob, look out there. Look at that. And I said, what are you looking at, Billy? He said, see all those birds out there? I said, that's nice. We were looking for where the fish should be. He said, that's it. That's it. And couldn't get it cranked up and run down there. But now I've learned I'm going to take a pair of binoculars the time I fish next on this lake, and I'm going to look for the birds and go to where the birds are. But people, he inspired people in bass fishing, Casey Ashley. In the business world, maybe you know of a businessman who's been very wealthy, such as someone who started McDonald's or Wendy's or a large operation, a construction businessman. These people serve as inspiration for others. Well, the question is, very important, who or what inspires you and me? Where is the source of our inspiration? And as you look back over your spiritual pilgrimage, the first question being, the second question being, who has inspired you to be faithful? Who helped you get to this point in your spiritual life? Parents, older siblings, brother, sister in the church, pastors, teachers, evangelists, maybe even employers, Christian employers. As we have been inspired to be disciples of Christ, we must ask ourselves, who am I inspiring to be faithful? Because you are. All of us are familiar with the expression, more is caught than taught. And teaching has a place in the home, in the church, in the school, in the job site, absolutely. But more is caught than taught. If I say one thing and live another, which I've been guilty of doing, perhaps you have too, most people have at one time or the other in life, if I say one thing and do another, then what I say does not mean so much. It truly doesn't. Because more is caught than taught. How I live my life makes a difference. If we're found not living that out, we can actually hurt ourselves. There's a song that says, it goes, somebody follows you, which I'm sure you're familiar with. Turn in your books and turn to number 442. Christian hymnal book, 442, and we won't sing this song. I might sing a verse or two of 443, and someone that's accustomed to leading singing, if you would prepare yourself, I would appreciate it. No warning, I understand, for 443, but let's look at the words of 442. How read your life book? The world of sinners know not God, nor read the gospel true. They care not for the Holy Word, but they are reading you. Oh, are you writing deeds of love, of holiness and grace? And do they see the peace of God illuminate your face? Do you desire that men shall think that God is what you say? Or that a man who lives like you is on the narrow way? Oh, write upon your daily page a gospel that is true. And that will lead a soul to God if he or she shall follow you. A gospel others daily see, your words and deeds indicting. Oh, what do men read in your life, in the book that you are writing? And make no mistake about it, you are writing a book. Not literally, but figuratively, you are. Let's sing maybe the first verse of 443. Someone who feels so led, let's lead that song. Brother, along on the highway of life. Someone lead out on that? Someone over here making an effort to stab at it? I'm going to ask my wife to do that. Okay, I'll do it. Here we go. Now you watch the mess happen. All right. Brother alone on the highway of life, strive to be good and true. Take Jesus with you to aid in the strife. Somebody follows you. Somebody follows you. Watching the things you do. Walk in the light and be pure in His sight. Somebody follows you. And how very, very true that is. The third question that is I want to address is, whom are you inspiring? Whom are you inspiring? For those that are following us in life. And you say, well, Bob, I don't have that many people following you. Really, that's not true. You think about it. If you're a mom or you're a dad, you're an older sibling, if you're an employer, if you work with a group of people, a young person that's older young person, yes, there is someone following you. If we are to have people follow us, dear friends, it's essential that my personal will is broken. Yes, not our spirit necessarily. Broken spirit people are in trouble and often need help. But broken will people are needed in the work of the kingdom. To be a Christian, to be a disciple of His, we must first have that born-again experience. You know, we read about that in John 3, verse 3 to 8 there, where Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And Jesus said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's pretty clear. And some people in the world around us, the secular world, will make fun. Born again this and born again that. You born again Christian people, I'm just disgusted with you. Or they'll say something along that line of thought. But I'm here to tell you, we're not making that up. It's scriptural teaching from the Lord Himself who said you must be born again. Something has to change in your life in order to go forward. And especially if someone's going to be following you. He goes on to say in verse 5, born of the Spirit and of the water. If you're not born of the Spirit and the water, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What's the water a reference to? Jesus, the Word. Jesus said, I am the Word, and the Word is Him. So we need to be born of the Spirit and of water of the Word. Having the Holy Spirit's impression in our life, the influence in our life. And yes, I mess up, you mess up. We are guilty of it. But we know better. We know better. We've been taught better at home. We've been taught in Sunday school and Bible school and church. When we do wrong, we know better. So we need to take a step back, confess it, repent, and move out and do the right thing. Another passage that's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I invite you to that if you care to turn to it, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Passage of Scripture having to do with the importance of whom are you inspiring to live for Christ. In chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians, it reads in this manner, verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Now let me quickly say here that sometimes traditions has a negative taste in people's mouth. The traditions here has reference to spiritual, scriptural teaching. There are some traditions that are good, that are family-driven, church-driven, community-driven. They're good and in their place. But we're not talking, we're talking about a level higher than that. Scriptural teaching is what this is reference to. Hold fast to that. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. For the impact of the Holy Spirit to be in my life, I have to live my life according to what I understand the Word of God to teach, without apology, without compromise. Now be polite. Be tactful. People don't listen if you make them mad or if you insult them. No, they don't listen to what you're saying. But be polite, courteous, but don't give them the truth. When the truth is clear, hang tight with it. On this third question again, whom are you inspiring to live for Christ? We acknowledge our dependence on the Holy Spirit in our lives, first and foremost, without a doubt. We can't hope to get there without that. Even with that, we fail and mess up sometimes. I do. Don't want to. I'm not proud of it, but I do. I can't imagine living a Christian life without the Holy Spirit. That unction to say, Bob, you messed up here. You stepped over the line. And convict me for it. And repent. And confess it. And try to live better from that point forth is what I try to do, and I'm sure you do the same thing. But as we experience the divine influence of the Holy Spirit, we in turn, as we do that, we can in turn be used by God to inspire and influence others. I think about parents again to children. I think about brother to brother. I think about pastor to layman. That we can inspire other people. The Apostle Paul made reference to this in several places, one of them particularly in the Corinthian church, and how they refreshed the spirit of Titus. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Where it says he came back from there and he is refreshed by you. We need to be people that are refreshing others and building them up, encouragers. He went on to say in that passage in verse 15, while he remembered, with reference to Titus, the obedience of you all, it became an inspiration. The phrase in the scripture is, he remembered their obedience. What I'm adding to it is, that was an inspiration to them, seeing their obedience. Now let's examine this fourth question. Why is it important to choose the right source of inspiration? Now this question has many reasons, but ultimately it will influence on where you will spend eternity, dear friends. It has an effect on everything in your lives. But the bottom line is, it will and can influence where you will spend your eternity. How you choose the right source for your inspiration. As human beings, we are all subject to like passions. Or in the context of what I've said, we're all in need of inspiration in our lives. Some may say, I don't need it, or at least imply it, but that's not true. We all need it. And no, for that matter, we are influencing people all the time. And they in turn are influencing us. Expression is going, the birds of a feather flock together, and it's true. When I want to inspire someone, when I want to be inspired with someone else, it's important I choose the right source for inspiration. There's a quote from John Donne that reads in this manner, that no man is an island unto himself. And we're not. We simply are not. Despite sometimes people would give the impression, I've heard people just simply say, I don't need anybody else. That's not true. That really is not true. It may have applications to some things, finance or whatever. I can do that carpenter job. I don't need anybody else. But in truth of the matter, when it comes from day-to-day living, we need each other. We need to identify who are my mentors in life. Who are the people I hang around? Who are the people that I look to for inspiration? Who are the heroes in my life? Now, in addition to Christ and his inspiration, our influence, we are inspired by others, so it's important that I choose my closest associates very, very carefully. Herein is a large part of the problem. This is where a large part of the problem is. We can be, or often are, guided or influenced by others in the wrong direction. It's happened to many people. Away from the Holy Spirit's inspiration. Sometimes unknowingly. Bottom line is, it gets us off track. And that brings me to the next thought in my message this morning, is on deception. Deception by its nature has to mix a little truth with error, or we're not deceived. So there is some truth there. That's what makes it confusing. Satan is the master deceiver. He's been doing his job for thousands of years. He knows how to get at us. You and I are no match for Satan. Don't even think about it. You cannot begin to stand up to Satan by yourself with your intellect, with your education, with your experience in life. You don't have a ghost of a chance, nor I. So what do we do? It reminds me when you go around some children sometimes at the office, or you see them in Walmart or store, little children, when you come up and you look threatening to them, how they will run quickly and hide behind their mother's dress or their dad's leg, and they'll hide that and hang on and hide behind and look around the side. That's how I picture me with Jesus when I come into the presence of the great deceiver. That's exactly how I picture me. Oh no, I'm not out front. Well, let me tell you about my understanding of the Word of God. I don't do that. And you shouldn't either. We run behind Jesus. And through his blood and behind the cross. Because he is a match for Satan. Amen? He is a match, but you and I are not. But keeping that in mind helps me keep in perspective about deception. Satan, we are told in John 8, verse 44, we are told this very verse, ye are, Jesus is referencing the scribes and Pharisees. He says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Deception. Because if we're inspired by the wrong people, they'll lead us the wrong way. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. for a passage here that it's familiar to you, but let's look at it in print if you care to turn to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Whenever I read this verse in the past, when I read it again today, when I read it last night again in study, it always brings shivers to me in a sense. Verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, I'm not where I need to be here, I think. Yes, okay, I am. I want to read verse 2 as well. Verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Paul is writing this to the Corinthian church. I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused or betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. I'm concerned about this. Paul said, I have concern about the fear of deception. Look at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's pretty heavy, serious language. To me it is. But my point is, we need to choose who is inspiring us. What is the source of our inspiration? Carefully, biblically, scripturally. In addition to speaking about these concerns to the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul also addressed the Galatian church with similar concerns. If you would just turn for a moment to Galatians chapter 1 and look at the expressions there. Again, the Bible readers, I know you're familiar, but it helps, at least it helps me, to look at it in print. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. And you've seen this verse. He's talking to the Galatian church. He's worried about them. And sometimes people almost will parallel themselves like, I'm a Christian, I'm the Holy Spirit, and I have the same kind of authority as the Apostle Paul. God forbid. Or Apostle Peter. They were called apostles for a reason. They were the ones that God chose to initiate the church as we know it today. And yes, you and I can be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Absolutely, and should be. But if my inspiration directs me away from direct teaching of the Word of God, then I've got the wrong inspiration. That's all clear. So let's look what he was telling the Galatian church. Verse 6 of Galatians 1. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, a different gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert or change the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, and look at that, Paul even included himself. He said, but if we, me, or any other person, angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Listen, dear people, that's strong language. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if yet I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This has to be our bottom line. Without the Word of God as our bottom line, we'll be all over the place. Willy-nilly, squirrely. We can't tell where we stand. But with the Word of God, we can stand where we stand. So husbands, fathers, men of the church, leaders, teach without adultery the Word of God, without compromise. Cling to it. I emphasize again because this question is probably the most passionate to me on this list of questions. why is it important to choose the right source for my inspiration? You know, we see all these things that the devil does, Satan does, and he delights in causing men and women misery. Absolutely. He delights in tearing churches wide apart, people wide apart, families wide apart. He delights in discouraging ministers to throw in the towel and quit and give up on God. Happens every month. I won't say every day, but it happens every month across America. In contrast, we read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that it is impossible. It is impossible for God to lie. I believe that. You believe that? So if we believe that it's impossible for God to lie, we need to know what God says about the issues of life we face and then live it out. Live it out with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We can do it with His help. Dear people, dear brethren, it's absolutely essential that we choose the right source for our inspiration. My eternal destiny, my children's eternal destiny, will be determined by the consequences of my choice for my inspiration. So you need to be dead on. There's no room for a great error here. Statements like I've just stated can cause great anxiety. It's not my intent to do that. If we're not certain of the source of our influences, we need to ask the question, and that'd be this last one. Is the source of our inspiration biblically sound? This is where we get into issues and questions, applications, difference of opinions, and I give room for that. We're different. All of us are different. I'm glad we are. It'd be a boring world to be all the same. And we can learn from each other because of our differences. Absolutely. But when we get to the bottom line, when the table's spread out, when the Bible's there, and the books are there, and the thought, is what we're teaching, advocating, biblically sound? We certainly cannot trust our feelings. And this is where many people go astray. Some of our choices in life may feel right for the present. But if it's just based on feeling and not scriptural fact, it will invariably lead us the wrong way. And it don't have to be off much. It really don't. I enjoy the mountains of North Carolina, and you have a compass out, and you can look and say, that point's where I want to go over there. That point's way over there on that hilltop. And look at the compass setting. And as I go down into the valley, if I get off 5 degrees, I adjust it, I go back 10 degrees. And then I get off just a few degrees. Time I get back up the valley on top of the hilltop, I'll never be at where I wanted to go. A little here, a little there, a little here, a little there, and I lost sight of my way. The Scripture is our compass to keep us on track. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it reads in this manner, that the heart is deceitful above all things. That's a painful thing to say. It's deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. And the question is asked in Jeremiah, we can ask today, who can know it? Well, Bobby, it just feels right, Timmy. It just feels right. Who can know the heart? And I believe in feelings. Feelings are important. Sometimes a gut feeling, what should do or not do. I believe in that. But we need to line those feelings up again with the Word of God. If they deviate, we need a second question or question our feelings. If you say, if we can't trust our feelings, in what or who can we trust? What can we trust to lead us in the right way? And I come back again without apology to stating that God's Word is the only true source that we can trust in for inspiration. You can trust many people, your pastors, your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ, your mom and your dad. Yes, there's a certain level of trust for all those areas and should be. But the bottom line is, I trust in God, and I trust in His Word, what it says. And as we're inspired by God's Word to do what's right, we then inspire other people and influence other people to live their lives according to God's Word and principles. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, a passage that's familiar to all or many, all Scripture, not every other one or just the ones that sound good, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hang on to that. You can sink your teeth in that and believe in that. The influence of Scripture in our lives will guide us and keep us safe where we want to be kept. Now, we all have the potential. It's in us all. The potential of being swayed or influenced. There's not a man or woman here that you can't tell me that you've got it all together so much that you can't be swayed. That's not right. Number one, it's not true. Number two, it's not possible. All of us have the potential of being swayed or influenced by others, either to the good or, unfortunately, to the bad times. As I said earlier, I appreciate the diversity of opinions and beliefs. I really do. We just must make sure that those opinions, those beliefs, are supported by Scripture, and not just based on feeling or passion. Another thing that comes to mind as I close here, wind up, we should not just trust in our own intellect or reasoning. You say, well, Bob, I've got a good mind. Some people, I've been educated. I can read the Scriptures. I know what this means. But I want to challenge you that we should not trust in that without God's influence, without God's inspiration. Many an educated man or woman will go to a Christless grave because they thought they were doing what was right. My education in God's Word is what's paramount. You may have many degrees on your wall at home, so be it. But you need the born-again degree, the BA degree that gets you into heaven and has a relationship with Christ. And you maintain that. Keep it certified. Keep it up to date. Just don't trust altogether your own intellect and reasoning without God's influence. We need to test our conclusions or the statements of others in the light of God's Word. And what magnifies the importance of our inspiration to me, what magnifies it? Little children sitting on your laps, sitting beside you, our grandchildren as older ones, our youth. What magnifies it to me is how will my inspiration and life affect others? Because it will, one way or the other. To the good, hopefully, or to the bad. It will affect them. Live your life as best you can. It's all God expects. Live it scripturally, biblically. Live it kindly, with courtesy, as you interact and engage with people who don't agree with you. But live it out for Christ and for His Word. You know, we're all leaving footprints in the sand. We really are. Most of us enjoy going to the beach. You walk on the beach. If you're very privileged to be there sometimes, it's not so crowded. And you walk on the beach a long way, and you turn around and you look back, and you see your footprints where you came from. We're all leaving footprints. We're leaving spiritual footprints. And who is following us? So leave here today with a challenge to live lives that are godly and inspired by His Word. And that's enough. You say, well, Bob, I can't do all that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do it. God is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. His Holy Spirit is sufficient. Let me pray for you this morning as a church and for myself as well. And I'll turn time over to Elvin. Lord, we come to you this morning, and many things have been said. I hope, Lord, to the good of the church. If I've said something, Father, that you don't agree with or is not true, please bring it, take it away from people's minds. If what I've said has the ring of truth, according to your Scripture, then sear it into our minds, that we not forget it, that we live our lives as best we can faithfully. Thank you, Lord, for this church, for each man, each woman, all the children, the teenagers, for their leadership spouses. I ask, God, your blessing upon all. Help us to leave today with the desire to be faithful this week and do the best we can to live lives inspired by you and your Word. In the name of Jesus, we would pray. Amen. Turn the time over to you, Brother Elvin.